You're listening to Jazz Profiles Now on WKCR FM New York and WKCR HD1. The time is 2:09, and that was from Jerry Hemingway's album Quam Bay. That was called Speak Brother. I'm here now in the studios with Jerry Hemingway. Perhaps you'd like to talk about this record.
Sure, Jasper. It's, in fact, the first published recording that I made on my own label, and at this time in the period of music from which this comes, composers, players were interested in getting their music published, and one of the few outlets was to do it yourself. Commercial companies weren't interested in at this point. So I recognized this point and produced my first LP. I think it came out in late 1978. The recordings are from early 1978. And what we heard specifically, the piece Speak Brother, is a composition that is the very first published work of Bass Trombone. Bass Trombone is a group now existing for 38 years and will soon have its 40th anniversary. And will be a part of a presentation of music that is coming up this coming week. And one of the reasons why I'm here at KCR today is to encourage all of you who are listening and who hear this music and enjoy what you hear to come down to the Stone between Tuesday and Saturday to hear a very diverse array of music that like this show will give you a kind of overview or retrospective of my many years in music, now well over 40 years of making music. So the members of this group, Bass Trombone, are they're really dear and very close friends of me and over and of my musical family. And we've been through a lot together. We've anybody who sticks together that long and makes music together that long has obviously experienced a lot of things together, traveled all over the world, and made by now many, many recordings. We're going to get back to hear more of bass trombone later on in the programming towards the end, because it is the very last concert of the retrospective will feature that same band. But this first recording was important to me, the Kwambe recording. It established myself, and I labored to send it all over the world. And it had at that time in the 70s, it had a kind of effect. People were then aware of this guy from New Haven, Connecticut, which is where I'm from, who produces music and who is associated with a number of interesting musicians, many of whom at that time were either living in or were participating in the musical scene in New Haven, Connecticut. The way I've endeavored to organize the music that we're going to hear today in such a way that we can kind of get a chronological overview. And partly you'll hear about, of course, you're going to hear about my music all along the way. But as through that lens, you're also going to become aware of some musical scenes and history that you might not have been aware of, or that it's faded from view over the years. And so we're going to start in the 1970s in New Haven, where I come from. I was born there, but many of the musicians I was associated with in New Haven are actually from all over the place. They were mostly, the first ones I met were all, a lot of them were involved in Yale University as students, and or they were involved in Wesleyan University, which wasn't far away. And I connected to this group as a young teenager of about 17 years old, and I found these musicians and began to play and associate with them and hang out together and kind of sort out my relationship to this music, which I was, let's just say, I was enthusiastic about it. I didn't have a whole lot of understanding of everything. I didn't have a grasp entirely of music history by that point. But I was really into all of it and really wide open and interested in a lot of and curious about a lot of things. And one of the people who was living in New Haven who had is a well-known member of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, and that is Wadada Leah Smith, who at that time didn't have the forename Wadada. And he had been, of course, he's originally from the Mississippi, but he was living in Chicago, and post-Chicago, he was in Europe for a period of time. And his primary outlet of documentation in Europe, and particularly Paris, was the Creative Construction Company, which included Anthony Braxton, Leroy Jenkins, and Steve Bacall. And they recorded a number of recordings while living in Paris, and a lot was produced around that time. We're talking the late 60s. Post this period, he moved back to the States, as did many of the people who had come from the AACM and moved temporarily into the Parisian scene and the European scene. And they most went to New York, but Leo chose to go to New Haven. And I understand, I heard from one source that the reason that he chose Connecticut was he said, if Charles Ives could figure out how to live there, then it'll work for me. I don't know if that's true. Maybe Leo can verify that. But at any rate, the Leo was there, and I met him almost as soon as I met a number of other musicians, which included the pianist Anthony Davis, the guitarist Alan Jaffe was living there. Wouldn't be long before bassists Mark Elias and Mark Dresser would be living in New Haven, and the vibist Jay Hogard, who we'll hear from a little bit later, who was actually a student at Wesleyan University at the time, but also lived in New Haven for a period of time as well. So there was and there are many more. The list is quite long. It's a rather outstanding list of musicians, actually, that happened to be in New Haven during the 1970s. And I was also, among other things, I was a, I don't know exactly how this came about, but I was interested in documentation, so I documented a lot of things. I had a good recording machine, and I recorded many concerts. And what we're going to hear now is a recording from 1976. And this is there was a place in New Haven called The Space, which was an outlet, kind of like a loft, a little mini loft. And many of us presented our music there throughout the 70s. And on one occasion, or several occasions actually, I did a duo with Wadada. And this is from October of 1976. And like I say, I documented many things on at that point on reel-to-reel tape recorder. And slowly, at this stage of time, I am in the business of transferring all of these tapes into digital format with the end goal of being able to provide eventually an archive of these interesting recordings. And there are many of them. Lots of stuff with Anthony Davis. George Lewis was also living in New Haven at that time as a student of Yale. And we played together. And there were all these different formations and groupings that were quite dynamic and quite exciting. And we were all plunging into music in various ways. Leo was something of a mentor to many of us, and me in particular. I spent a lot of time with him and did a lot of listening together, researching musical ideas, experimenting with his notation system, which was known as, at that time he called Ock Reinvention. And yeah, it was, for me, a wonderful experience getting to understand the art of improvisation, the possibilities of music making, and so forth. So here's an excerpt from a long concert, again, recorded at The Space in October of 1976.